Glory to God. Hallelujah. Awesome, awesome.
Thank you, Father.
Extravagant God. Praise Him.
Yes. Glory.
I am so grateful for Him and His goodness, mm-hmm. all that
yes.
He's done
Amen.
For us.
Yes. Amen.
Turn with me to 2 Peter. We are so grateful for all of the movement of God. We're thankful for the movement of His Spirit.
Amen.
We're thankful for times of refreshing,
yes.
rejoicing, the what we were talking about in those crusades that we just had,
yes.
Where God just kind of invades the room. But you know, God invades His Word.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
First and foremost, the most primary way we're fed and we grow in our walk with God is through His Word.
Mm-hmm.
So we rejoice every time we come together to receive and partake of His Word.
Yes.
And we can expand and grow every time mm-hmm. that we are around His Word, if we'll align ourselves correctly. So we've been looking at 2 Peter for many weeks now. And 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll start here in verse 3. It says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness
yes.
through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence.
Yes.
Wow. We've been called not just to experience God's glory and excellence, but we've been called to it.
Yes.
If we could say this, we've been called to step into His glory and His excellence. By which He's granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them, these promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Ah, I love that. And I every day I want to be a partaker of His divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire.
Mm-hmm.
For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Of course, we've been ministering on this for many weeks now. And in these last two verses that we just read, Peter lists seven qualities or characteristics.
Wow.
That he says we are to make every effort to add these characteristics to our faith. And we've said this, and we've heard others minister along these lines. These seven characteristics are like pillars on a bridge. The bridge being our faith. The bridge being the pipeline, so to speak, of getting things from the spirit realm to the natural realm, where we need these things
mm-hmm.
that we've asked for by faith. And these seven pillars, these characteristics, this first one being virtue or excellence, these are things that we are to make every effort to put in place in our lives. Meaning, these aren't just things that God adds
That's
to
right.
us. But we participate in this part of His plan for our life. We need to, if we could say it this way, inspect our lives from time to time. Take inventory of our lives and make sure that these pillars are strong, that these characteristics are in place. And I do like how Peter said for in verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, meaning we don't just, okay, well, I learned about excellence 10 years ago, I'm good. Well, no, from time to time, we pull these things back out. We inspect ourselves. We look at our life. Where are things lagging behind? What's lacking in our life? Where and we don't just do it from the natural, because if anything you do when it comes to taking self-inventory, if you do it from a natural perspective, the devil's going to beat you up. Mm-hmm. Right? Right? If you just look at yourself and say, I could have done that better. I should have done that better. I could be better at this. And the devil's going to be right there and say, yeah, you're a sorry excuse for a Christian.
Oh, boy.
Right? Yeah. I mean, he's going to be there like, you'll never get that one right. You're just, you're always messing up. And then he'll list the 10 last times that you didn't get right in that area.
Yeah.
So when I say take inventory, I'm not saying do a mental checklist, but I'm saying get with the Spirit and ask Holy Spirit, are there places where would you like me to increase? Where do you see that I need improvement? And he will help you. And what I've noticed is when the Spirit of God initiates an area of improvement or offers me the opportunity to increase,
yes.
in that area, to excel or to step into something better in that area, there's such a grace from God to do it.
Yes.
Because it's been offered by the Spirit.
Yes.
And so in whatever area it is, when God initiates that increase or that offer to increase in that area, to excel in that area, there's an ease and a flow to step into that area. We often talk about it when we, people get to the first of the year and they make their New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose 500 pounds this year, right? And they join 6 different gyms, and they go to 3 days worth of classes, and they're so sore after 3 days of working out that they can't move. And they think this is ridiculous, and they stop. And that's the end of losing their 500 pounds, And if you really have 500 pounds to lose, I mean, you better get on it. Like, that's a serious amount of problem,
Yes.
And so what am I saying? I'm saying when we just decide to do something for the sake of doing it, like, oh, I'm gonna get up, for us ladies, sometimes it's like, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna fix my hair and do my makeup every day. Well, that's a professional look, it's good to look professional when you're out and about and doing things, but if it's not initiated by the Spirit, if it's not something that the Spirit's initiating you or, inviting you to come up in, you can do that, but it's gonna be more difficult. Because you're doing it in the flesh. Anything done in the flesh, that's done simply in the flesh, is gonna you have to rely on your flesh to get it done.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And it's just not as easy as doing it from the realm of the Spirit, with the help of the Spirit.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So if these qualities, these 7 things that were just listed, if these are yours and are increasing, well, then we can experience more of God's blessing in our life. And so what I see here is that these things can be ours in a measure, but there's still more for us to partake of, or he wouldn't have said they can be increasing, right? So we delight to look at these subjects and see in what areas the Spirit would have us move up. And in this first quality that we've been looking at, it lists here virtue, but we've been saying for these many weeks now, it really means that word means excellence or we could say it this way, moral excellence, because that's really what it's getting to. It's not just being excellent in how you dress or excellent in how you cook or excellent in how you drive or what you drive. It's moral excellence. And to me, we don't use that phrase very much in our day. To me, it really means integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Integrity. Yeah. We can have integrity and we can be increasing in our integrity. Amen. The more we learn about God, the more we see in His Word, the more He's going to hold us to a standard, a certain standard.
That's right.
Of moral excellence,
yeah,
in our lives.
Yeah.
And that's why when we teach these things, this may look different to you than it looks to me. There's certain standards set in the Word, but we're all increasing in levels of excellence. So what God has me doing, it may look a little bit different. And so we've also said this in studying these things. It helps the body of Christ. Well, it helps anyone. Let's just say it this way. Even in the natural realm, if you want to increase in your excellence, you've got to be around other people that are excellent.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
That's part of the reason for the local church. Unfortunately, many local churches fail or fall short in their standards of excellence. I thank God for the Bible school I went to at Rhema in Tulsa there. Excellence was key. I mean, if they preached it once, they preached it 1,000 times.
That's right.
I mean, there was a standard of excellence for the church, for the school, for and that excellence, that moral fiber of excellence, that carried over into every part of that campus.
Yeah.
That campus screamed excellence. The flowers were excellent. The walls were excellent. You know, there weren't scuffs and holes in the wall. Everything was excellent.
Yeah.
Because the people running that place were so strong in their integrity and excellence. So these things carry over, and we want to make sure that we're around excellence and that we partake of excellence so that we can increase our standards,
mm-hmm,
in our, yes, lives. God can use the Spirit, can say, you see that? Come up in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget, praise the Lord, I'm sure we'll get to our notes today. I'll never forget when I was, of course, I went to Bible school, that and Reverend Joel, he was a part of the crusade team with Brother Hagen. And so we were very close with the other singers and bands that were, you know, they were our family. All of us had left family to come there, and we were living there. So they were our family.
Yep.
And we learned so much from one another. But there was one particular couple that had, they were very blessed. They were blessed financially. But one thing I noticed, because Reverend Joel and I, when we came in as students, we didn't have very much money. And we knew enough, we had learned enough in school, we knew that this was our sowing season, meaning we're going to put other natural desires or things that we might want aside to sow as much as we possibly can.
Sure.
And so we were in a sowing season. Well, God will test you in those seasons.
Yes.
He will test you in those times. We've never stopped sowing, you understand.
Yes.
But this was a particular season in our lives where we just knew, take only the bare bones for yourself. You know, just enough to buy the ramen noodles. You know, we weren't eating out every day. We weren't kind of going crazy with our wardrobe and stuff. God provided for us. But it was a season where we just knew so, and set yourself up for your future.
Yeah. Yeah, amen.
And so we were in that season, and You know, there were others that were in the singers and band, but they had been in the thing, this type of thing, and the things of God longer than we had. They were a little bit older than we were. And so they were at a different level than we were financially. And it made sense. I mean, it made sense when you look at it from a spiritual standpoint. They had an extra decade on us of sowing and giving. And so in one respect, I was grateful for the opportunity to see the next level.
Yes, amen.
And to be friends amen. With someone, actually get to go to their home and see their home versus my home. But if you're not careful in these different steps, you know, there were times where I'd come home to my home and look at it and say, oh, I hate this place. You know, you wouldn't say it out loud because you knew you weren't supposed to say it out loud, but you just kind of get in the natural and be like, oh, why do we have to get this place? Other people have a nicer place. Other people have a prettier place. And, you know, we actually were able to purchase the home that we had in Tulsa. Of course, we rented an apartment for the first few years, but God supernaturally got us into this place. It was a 1950s ranch. This was the 90s, you know? So it was an older home, but I mean, it was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home. Yeah. I don't know how many square feet it is because I'm not good at all that, but it was a decent size. It had a yard, a fenced-in yard. I mean, it was actually a very lovely, nice neighborhood. It was a great house. And for where we were, it was supernatural that we got in there. But I, in the natural, had to watch my attitude.
Yeah.
Because when I'd go to somebody else who had a nicer level, something that I would have preferred. In the natural, and certainly we all prefer something nicer versus something older, right?
Yeah.
I had to watch my attitude because I realized if I got into, you know, when you start yearning for the next level before you're supposed to be there, you can get jealous. You can get envious of what others have. And when you start to do that, you start complaining.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And you lose sight of the fact that God gave you this place.
Yeah.
Right? God gave you what you're driving. God gave you where you're living.
Yes.
And this is an opportunity. And I had to come back, and my husband would remind me sometimes, this is our sowing season.
Yeah.
We had actually, when we purchased this home, instead of doing, a 20 or a 30-year mortgage, we did a 15-year mortgage. We started crunching the numbers, and I don't even think our mortgage was $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
But for us, that was giant.
Yeah.
You know, like, giant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It might as well have been $12,000 a month, right? Which I won't even... That's a number I'm looking at now. So that was giant to us. And you know, and then I we'd look at that, and when you take that and all that you were giving.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I'm going to believe God for cereal.
Yeah.
And then we had babies at that point. So now I need diapers and this, and you know, it was a stretch. It was a stretch. Not just on our finances, but on my inner man.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what we were building? Integrity and moral excellence.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Amen.
Am I going to keep sowing what I said I'm going to sow when I really could use it in my pocket? Am I going to keep tithing when it would just be so much easier to use it for my mortgage? He was building in me some moral excellence because he knew where I was headed.
That's right.
And he knew what he had for us in the seasons to come.
Mm-hmm.
But if I couldn't learn to be grateful and thankful and be excellent in caring for what he had already given me, he couldn't bring me to that next level. And so I learned a lot from my friends who had were in that next level already. They were excellent with their home. He was a clean freak. Have you ever met a clean freak? Oof. I mean, and because he was so meticulous with his home and how he wanted it kept, his wife, which was my very good friend for all those years, she followed suit. Why? Because, you know, he wants it to be a certain way. And, you know, people that have are very meticulous that way, it bothers them when things are out of order, you know? And he was actually not only in the singers and band, but he was one of the assistant associate pastors of the church as well at that time. And so there was a lot of blessing in their life, but I noticed because he was so meticulous in caring for that which God had blessed them with, God was able to increase them in a way that I wasn't increasing yet.
Amen. Amen.
And so, you know, of course, we had this home. I've told you before that I worked at a Walmart when I was in Bible school, and I continued to work there after I graduated until I got pregnant. It was in our heart, it was in my heart especially, to stay home to raise my kids. And so we went from two incomes to one. And we had just purchased a 15-year mortgage, and we were in a sowing season. So things got even tighter. And so I realized, you know, I'd go to my friend's house, I'd come back home and look at mine and kind of complain to myself, oh, this place. And I started to realize when I'd come home and look, I mean, I had stuff everywhere. And I realized that personally, I wasn't as excellent as my friends. It wasn't that I was messy. I didn't have garbage all over the place. I cleaned the place, but I was just messy. I'd leave stuff around. I'd just throw my coat and jacket there. And, you know, I'd be working on stuff on the kitchen table and it would just stay there. I'd, you know, do stuff in the kitchen and then the dishes would just be left there. And then, you know, I was doing stuff with the kids and the toys were all over. And I came home one day and I looked around. I mean, at this time, I'm at home full-time. My husband's working full-time. And I realized I'd left a trail in every room. And I would, you know, I'd even cleaning, I'd vacuum and I'd leave the vacuum out. And it's like the Spirit was like, your house could, even though it's not the nicest level house, meaning I didn't like the, you know, I just didn't like the 50s vibe of the house. But I wouldn't ever get to painting the walls because I couldn't find them because there was stuff in front of them. Telling off on myself this morning. And I realized if I want the next level in my life, it's not going to come by being jealous that somebody else has it.
That's right.
Yeah. It's not going to come by complaining about what I have.
That's right.
I need to learn to be excellent with what God's provided.
Yes.
I need to have some integrity about my home.
Yes.
And if I'm the homemaker, I understand now there, you know, many couples, both husband and wife work full time. And so there's a shared responsibility. And I'm not saying that, I mean, my husband took care of the lawn. He did a lot in our home as well at that point. But I was the one living there full time and taking care of the kids. And I had to, I'm saying this because I had to learn to clean up after myself.
Yes.
I had to learn to start something and then put it away. I had to learn that if I wanted my bedroom to look like somebody else's bedroom, the bed was going to have to be made. And No one else was going to come in and make it for me.
That's right. That's right.
Right? And you may say, well, I don't care about these things. Well, many of you are believing for a spouse. Maybe your spouse is going to care about these things.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, it's just these things matter. If we want the next level in our lives, and you might say, well, I don't want the next level, but do you want what God has for you? Because God always has
the next level.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's always calling us to the next level.
Yes.
And why are we talking about these outward things? Because the more moral excellence we build on the inside of ourselves, the more it shows up on the outside.
That's right.
And if we're aware of these things and paying attention to the Spirit, He will start to deal with us, do that better. That's not right. And when the Spirit's dealing with us about these things, there's a grace to participate in these things. There's a grace to come up. It's an invitation, really, to step into more of Him. Praise the Lord.
That's so good. Amen.
I'll clean up my stuff.
Amen.
And you know, I just had to notice that about myself. Every one of us have different
things,
different characteristics, different traits, personality traits, or whatever. You may be very tidy, naturally speaking. That might not be a thing, but you might have other areas that the Spirit's dealing with you. Watch what you say. Be excellent in your words. You know, don't be complaining. Don't be jealous. Don't, you know, there's different categories for all of us where the Spirit's going to deal with us. If we want to come up, if we're coming up in moral excellence, that will touch and affect every area of our lives.
That's right.
To the point where when people step into, I mean, your apartment can look excellent.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Your 1950s ranch could be, by the time we left, our house was excellent. Our yard was excellent. That which we had was excellent. We had brought it up to the level that we could naturally financially, but you know, we tore the teapot wallpaper off the walls. Yeah. You know, we painted it a Ralph Lauren green. You know, we did what we could with what we had to make it look excellent, because that's what we were becoming.
Yes. Yes.
And it reflected who we were.
Yeah. Yes.
These things matter.
They do.
They matter.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we've been ministering on these things because they're so important. Turn with me to Acts 6. Acts chapter 6. Of course, we looked at Joseph. My goodness, his excellence was amazing in slavery, in servitude, in prison.
Yes.
He rose to the top of every situation because he refused to let the prison be put in him.
Yes.
He refused to let slavery affect his inward man. And he rose to the top of everything he did. Daniel, when he was summoned to eat that which the king provided for him, he inquired of the master there, the chief eunuch, and said, it's against my moral fiber to eat that which this place, just please let us eat vegetables and drink water.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he asked and the integrity he had in doing that, God blessed him, and he and his buddies turned out to be 10 times better than anybody else that they had gathered. His moral integrity opened the door for a whole level of excellence that nobody else could match. And in Acts chapter 6, I better get there too. This is already different than I planned to go, but it's all good, right? Acts chapter 6. I already said we're going to take our time with this because I believe this first characteristics of excellence is so important.
Yes.
In Acts chapter 6, it says, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It's not right that we, the ministers, should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, and we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip," and it goes on to list those that some of those that they had picked. So we have here in Acts chapter 6, the church is increasing, disciples, different Christians are being added to the number of the church there daily, and they're trying to take care of, I mean, there was no social system to take care of the poor and the needy and the widows and this type of thing. And so the church was doing their best. We already saw that a lot of people were selling what they had and giving it to the apostles to distribute to the needs of the saints. So part of this was this daily food pantry, if you will, or this daily food, soup kitchen, where they were feeding the different widows and things. And we see the first hint of racism in the church here, right? The Hellenists versus the Hebrews, to different types of people groups that were in Jerusalem at the same time. And although they had a common faith, they had different cultures. Actually, a lot of them spoke different languages as well. And so there was some disconnect. And in this serving, the Hebrews were getting preference. And when the Hellenists were showing up, they were saying, "Sorry, we don't have any for you." Which, of course, there's no part for that in any Christian church.
Sure.
But we see what they did here. It's brilliant. The apostle said, "Listen, we're preaching, we're ministering everywhere we go. We don't have time to step aside from this and watch over the kitchen."
Right.
And make sure everybody gets, lunch. It's not our job. But in order to facilitate this correctly, this overseeing of this natural distribution of food, they called in verse 3 for them to pick among them 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit, and of wisdom. The Message translation, it says, "So friends, choose 7 men from among you whom everyone trusts."
Yeah.
Men full of the Holy Spirit and good sense, and assign them this task. The King James just says, "Men of honest report." So we see this. It's very interesting because you'd think, well, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, so they must be honest. But the apostles made a distinction. I want people who are honest and full of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
What does this show us? You can be one without the other. You can be full of the Spirit and have no integrity. And they're like, "That's not who I want in charge of my soup kitchen.
Amen.
That's not who I want in charge of this department, the children's department. That's not who I want in charge of whatever it is to do with the body of Christ." So we see even in the very beginnings of the church, they were making this distinction. There has to be some moral integrity about people if they want to move up in the ranks of the things of God.
Wow.
My husband has said it this way many times. There's places God could take you.
Yes.
That your integrity can't keep you.
Yes.
Or your character can't keep you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
there's some reasons why many people are called, but few are chosen.
That's right.
As it says in Romans. It's because of this. You can't just be full of the Spirit.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be full of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But you can be full of the Spirit, meaning you can flow in tongues, interpretation in tongues. You can pray, have a great prayer life, and totally ignore the character building side of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And God cannot promote you the way he wants to. Praise the Lord. This is interesting today, isn't it? So the apostles said, we need men of honest report and men that have some wisdom or good sense about them, as well as full of the Spirit. And those are the ones that will promote. And it goes on to mention Stephen. Of course, Stephen winds up being a preacher. Right? But it was this progression. First, he had to prove himself in the soup kitchen.
Yeah.
And then he went out and became a preacher on top of that job that he had. And then he became the first martyr of the church.
Yeah.
I've never been in a situation where I was close to being martyred. You understand what that word means, right? Being killed for
yes.
the name of Christ.
Right.
He was the first martyr of the church. But it started because people recognized his integrity.
Yeah.
He's got some moral excellence about him. He's not going to back down when people pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it means his life.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. These things are so important. People don't realize, you know, I think, well, it's just my kitchen. Ah. Well, if you want a nicer one, then it matters.
Yes.
And not only if you want a nicer kitchen, but if you want God to be able to use you in bigger ways,
yes,
the kitchen matters.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, as I said, you know, my 1950s ranch, when we left that in Tulsa, it was still a 1950s ranch.
Sure.
You know? It wasn't remodeled and renovated the way I would have pictured in a magazine. It certainly didn't look like the house I have now, but I'll tell you this, I wouldn't have the house I have now
mm-hmm.
if I hadn't learned back then
That's
to
right.
take care of what God provided for me.
That's right, yeah.
Be grateful for it.
Yeah.
Be thankful for it. I had a 3-bedroom house. I had 2 kids. I had room for everybody.
Yes.
Not everybody does. You know, you have to learn to be thankful for what you've got and what you have.
Yeah.
And while we're believing God for the next level, we need to be meticulous with what he's given us in this level.
Yes.
Mm. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Glory to God. So if you would, 11:10 already. Well, let me just get to these. I have 5 points. Can I just
yes.
tell them to you so we can actually get some notes out and something you can write down? 5 things about integrity or moral excellence that we've seen as we've been looking at these scriptures, but I just kind of want to list them out here. Number one, and we mentioned this last week, moral excellence repels the world. Last week we talked about that Carhartt jacket I have. It's a rain defender, right?
Yes.
I got excited about the rain this morning. You know, I've got some cool raincoats, and you know, you get to wear your raincoat when it's raining. We don't get that opportunity much in Colorado. But what's a raincoat do? It repels the water.
Yeah.
It sloughs it off. Moral integrity will help you repel the world.
Yeah.
It will help that stuff just slide off of you. If you'll build up your moral, I call it fiber, moral fiber. You know, you'll have some backbone about you.
Yes.
Some integrity. And we had talked, of course, about Joseph. He didn't listen to Potiphar's wife, even though she came to him day after day, day after day. He let that slide off so that when she finally grabbed hold of him, he just ran. He ran right out of his coat. Why? He wasn't going to let the world get into his inner being.
Yeah.
And that goes right along with number two, which someone of integrity is consistent. Day after day, Potiphar's wife came to him, and he ignored it day after day. Someone with integrity is consistent. Day after day, we brush our teeth. Why? Because it's necessary. Day after day, we pick up after ourselves. Why? Not because I enjoy cleaning, but because we live in this world that's tainted with the curse, and there's just, you know, there's going to be weeds. Yeah. We were told about it in Genesis.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no sense complaining about it. Just deal with it.
Yes.
Listen, integrity doesn't mean that you never get your hands dirty. Matter of fact, it's the opposite. It means there's going to be work to do, and we're just going to do it with a smile on our face. To take care of what we have.
Yeah.
Moral excellence is consistent. Number three, moral excellence or integrity pays attention to details. The reason Joseph rose in the ranks in the prison in Potiphar's house is because he was a detail guy. He paid attention to details.
Yes.
We won't take time to turn there, but remember Solomon. In his house, his kingdom, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Queen of Sheba, it could have taken anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks for her to travel from her kingdom to his kingdom.
Yeah.
And when she got there, she said, "The half has not been told me of your excellence." Meaning, some of these things about excellence can't be verbalized as much as they are seen.
Yeah.
It wasn't until she got there she saw how excellent things really were. She had heard about it.
Sure.
But she said, "I didn't hear the half of it. I had to come here." Excellence will draw things to you, draw people to you as they see, they've got
yes.
something.
Mm-hmm.
The Queen of Sheba, she passed out. Because everything Solomon did was excellent. And how did he get that? From God's wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
He asked God. Mm-hmm. And God gave him so much wisdom, and it translated into excellence.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Excellence, it says in that the Queen of Sheba, she couldn't believe how the servants were dressed. She couldn't believe the golden cups and plates that the servants could eat out of. I mean, everything reeked of excellence because of this wisdom of God that Solomon said. So we see that excellence pays attention to details.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And then Number four is really a phrase. Excellence doesn't try to be impressive. Excellence is impressive. We don't try to be impressive. I'm not dressing to try and impress somebody. I'm not ministering to try and show how spiritual I am to somebody, see how far along I am. I'm not praying to impress somebody when I'm praying in a group, right?
Right.
I'm not doing things. I'm not saying, I'm not bringing things up. I'm not name dropping in a conversation to try and look impressive. Look how far I've come. Look how great I am. Look at what I know. Somebody who's got integrity about them, they're not name droppers. They're not trying to look impressive. They just are impressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference. And you know what that difference is? If you've been around somebody who is trying to be impressive, something in you is like, it just doesn't,
yeah.
It doesn't taste right.
Yeah.
You walk out thinking they're a show off. They're, you know, they're boasting, they're proud, they're this. We got to be careful of that. We're in a ton of back rooms in our days. I've served in back rooms. You know what I mean by that? I mean like in a minister's meeting, you get to go in the back and help serve the ministers. You know, I've been around when Kenneth and Gloria Copeland is there, or Jesse Duplantis is there, or Jerry Savelle's there. You know, I've been around with Brother Hagen and Mom Hagen. The reason Reverend Dole and I got invited to many of those rooms, the reason I was even allowed to serve back there, is because I knew how to keep my mouth shut.
That's right.
That's integrity.
Yes.
Not trying to look impressive so that they might ask me to do something for them. Or they might include me in their ministry.
That's right.
Ooh. It doesn't set well to the Spirit of God. So we don't have to try. Just be.
Amen.
Just be. If you're called to serve in the back room, you do it with excellence.
Yes. Right.
Not with your mouth.
Right.
You don't do it with your mouth. You do it with the Spirit. Here's more coffee. You know, God, the Spirit of God will help us. That's why, I mean, it's just amazing that in the book of Acts, they talk about how they picked people to serve in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Because it matters.
Yes.
Because it matters. It matters to God. It's important. So we can't just try to be impressive. But if we'll follow the Spirit, He'll make us impressive.
Yes, He will.
Yeah.
Amen.
And then number five, you could list this in just about any characteristic. Don't just be a hearer, but a doer.
Yes. Amen.
Somebody of integrity doesn't just come and sit and listen to the word, but they go home and say, okay, Holy Spirit, how do we put this into action in my life? Where am I missing it? Where can I come up? What can I do better? There's a spiritual inventory to someone with integrity that helps them. And you know, and it can be the simplest thing. Just put your dishes in the dishwasher when you're done.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. Talking to me is, you know, when I'm home and Reverend Joel's gone, you know, I might leave the kitchen messy for an hour,
mm-hmm.
right? But I'm not going to leave it there all day.
That's right.
And, you know, I understand we all get busy, and there's times where I have things going on in different places, and I'll leave that I might leave a vacuum out to remind myself I still haven't finished.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So I'm not, again, this is not like, you know, a mental bombardment, like you have to do better, blah, 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 you know, you'll never make it, and the things of God. This is all Spirit-led.
Mm-hmm.
But when we hear the word being preached, or when we hear something from the Spirit, we don't ignore it, but we do it.
That's right.
We put it into practice. Mm-hmm. And you might, you know, the Spirit of God might deal with you, stop, you know, that thing that you've been doing since you were 5 years old.
Yes.
Well, you're going to need the Spirit's help.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, if you've been doing something for 20 years,
yeah.
But the Spirit's so willing to help. If He's dealing with you to change something, it's because you're now at the level where you have the ability to do so.
That's right.
Yes.
And so it's not a condemnation thing. It's an invitation from the Spirit, and we should be thankful. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that I have the grace now to step into a new level. And with your help, I'll be able to do it.
That's right.
I'm going to do this better. I'm going to come up in this area.
Amen.
Whatever area it is.
Yes.
We're not just hearers, but someone with integrity, with excellence about them, is a doer.
Yes.
Yeah. Meaning just what we said, sometimes your hands are going to get dirty.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Listen, if, you know, I like flowers. I like to have flowers, but you got to take care of them every day.
Yes, you do.
Right? Some people like to, you know, have a cat or a dog, but you got to take care of them every day. Right?
Every day. Yeah.
Lord knows, if you have children, you got to take care of them every day, right? I mean, everything in life is another level of care.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, you know, you can take out everything in your life and become a minimalist, you know, and only have, you know, three gray T-shirts and two pair of jeans, and that's all, you know, so I don't have to take care of the rest. That's fine if that's what you're called to, but there's so much blessing attached to that which God adds to our lives.
That's right.
Whether it's family or animals or just surrounding yourself with the beauty of flowers on your deck. You know, whatever it is, if it's pleasing to you, God wants it for you, but it needs to come at a level of excellence.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit's not going to trim your flowers. He doesn't mind you having them. But just understand this, with every level, more excellence is required. That's and that means there's going to be more work required. And you say, well, I'll just hire somebody to clean my big house. Well, that's great. But if you didn't take care of your last house, you know, if the cleaning lady only comes every 2 weeks or once a month, what are you going to do the other 29 days?
That's right.
And what you don't take care of, you will lose.
That's right. Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, moral inward excellence permeates every other area of our life. The further we come up in integrity, the more it shows up in our natural realm, in our natural world. And I'll close by saying what the Spirit said to me in the car on the way over here. As I was enjoying the rain that I'm pretty sure we brought from Kentucky just for you, he said this: people pray for rain and then complain when they get wet.
Mm-hmm.
People pray for rain and then complain when they get wet. Instead of complaining about that which God has brought us to and all that we have to take care of, why don't we thank Him for the opportunity to get wet?
Yes.
Amen. While He's watering the earth, while He's taking care of the lawn, while He's providing the trees with the nourishment we need. Yeah, but He's provided me a raincoat, so I'm good.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We got to be careful when we step into these levels. We don't just look at the next level and forget the one that He just brought us into.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. People pray for rain and then complain.
Yes.
That's not us, though. That's not us at Faith Church. We're coming up in these things. We can be excellent. And listen, there's going to be people around you that don't want anything to do with it. And they may exit your life.
That's right.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yes.
But we're on the upward track with God.
Yes. Yeah.
We're on the rising.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And that's where the blessing and provision is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you,
Lord. You
for the opportunity to hear these things.
Yes.
The opportunity to move forward in these things.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for revealing to us that which could change, should change, and the areas in which we are already excelling. We thank you for your grace in those places.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, thank you for causing every area of our life to shine for your glory.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And thank you, Father, as we learn to walk in excellence, those around us can partake of all that you've blessed us with.
Yes.
And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're dismissed.